Okay, who are you and where are we?
I'm Zach, president of Bike Builders of Berkeley. We are at the Sea Otter Classic at our booth.
Cool. You know, we were just talking about a few other things, and you pointed to this filament winder for your tubing and said that this was your baby. So it's interesting, it's on the cheap, and it looks like it works.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah, so it's a two-axis CNC design that runs on G-code, so the same sort of code that controls CNC machines and controls 3D printers also controls this guy. It takes one continuous strand of carbon fiber.
The toe, as they say.
Yes, it's 12K carbon fiber toe, so each strand has 12,000 little fibers in it.
And what epoxy are you using?
We're using West Systems 105 epoxy.
I use that too.
Awesome. Yeah, so it runs it through a series of rollers to tension it, dips it through a resin bath, runs through a couple more rollers, and gets deposited onto a mandrel. We have two axes of motion. We call this the Y axis, which rotates the mandrel, and the X axis, which moves the gantry side to side. And the G code basically controls the ratio that these two things move relative to each other to control the winding angle of the carbon fiber.
And how do you, I'm thinking of a wind like this that you'd end up with a very thick end as it came to an end. Are you doing some fancy stuff in your code to eliminate a piling up at the ends?
We are not. We're just chopping it off.
Well, that's good engineering, as they'd say, unless material costs are too high.
Material costs, I mean, they're high. They're not extraordinarily high. Each 8-pound roll of carbon fiber costs us about $350.
Which is pretty affordable.
Pretty affordable. And we have a huge stockpile of epoxy.
So epoxy's the pain in the butt, because now you have this goop. So I asked yesterday, we had a separate discussion where we talked about different things yesterday, but I was told your mandrel was, why don't you describe your mandrel construction process?
Yeah. So our mandrels are 3D printed out of a water-soluble material. So it lets us iterate quickly. It has no tooling cost, and has no need for an autoclave, basically. So we're able to 3D print the features that we want to wrap around. We do a thin layer of parchment paper around them. We just completely wrap over them with the carbon fiber. Then vacuum bag over that. Once the resin is cured, you can take the whole mandrel and tube assembly out, toss it in a bucket of water. The 3D printed material softens and will dissolve completely if you give it time. Or if you're impatient like me, you can just ram it out once it's squishy.
Yeah, everyone's impatient, but I know.
Definitely. Yeah.
Cool. So you designed this, the whole contraption.
Yes.
And did you do all the software also, or and the firmware?
The firmware, we're running an open source firmware called Gerbil.
Okay.
It's runs through an Arduino Uno, but the Arduino doesn't really have any code built into
it. So it's Gerbil on Arduino.
Gerbil on Arduino. G-R-B-L.
And was there any, like, I'm sure you had plenty of hiccups along the development path.
Yes.
What did you think was kind of an intriguing problem that you solved, or one of the more vexing problems you solved in that process?
Yes. So we have a custom, we wrote custom software to develop like the G-code that goes into this machine. But the very interesting problem we had is, how do you maintain a constant fiber winding angle along a tube which has a changing cross-section? So this tube is obviously tapered, and it's a smaller cross-section on
the
side.
Can't do at one end what you do at the other.
Exactly. So what we ended up doing is we wrote this program that basically chunks the mandrel up into 5mm sections, and for each 5mm section you sort of linearize the angle of the fiber. So every 5mm it'll adjust the ratio.
It accounts for the radius from center and the some other variable there, and that'll arrive at, okay, go at this angle now.
Yeah.
And it just continually does that.
Yeah.
So I would effectively, if I'm looking at this, it would appear, if we were looking at a surface, what's that thing when you, the zebra stripes in SolidWorks, when you see the angle of the curve, at every angle of the curve, the fiber would be oriented similarly.
Yes, so the fiber winding angle is maintained at a constant angle.
That's really cool.
So that was a huge engineering challenge.
How long did it take you to figure that out so that you felt like you had something durable?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely wasn't me.
Okay.
It was another member of my team.
So you're running the team that did this.
Yes, exactly. Okay. It was not at all my...
Sure.
Lachlan, if you're out there, this is all you. Lachlan and Drew, he was just at the booth, but sure. I don't know where he went.
Uh-huh.
But this was all them. It probably took them a solid, I want to say, 6 weeks.
Really?
We ran a couple tests, or actually numerous tests, just to see how it was progressing. Just this one was when we were trying to dial in the wall thickness. It was supposed to be 1.6 millimeters, and this is very clearly about 5.
Uh-huh.
So we had some math to do along the way.
Okay, so what you're saying, like when you measure the wall thickness of
yes.
what comes out now,
yeah.
it is approximately correct
yeah,
for what you designed?
Correct. Yes, that's correct.
I'm sure there's going to be variances yeah. and stuff like that.
And there is a slight variation in tapered tube because this cross-section is smaller, this cross-section is bigger, and it moves in a linear way. So there's going to be more material around the smaller cross-section. But for our wall thicknesses, that's within 0.1 to 0.2 millimeters, which is acceptable for
sure.
us.
Sure, that's cool. Anything else that you think is of note for the process of developing this?
I guess of note, the cheapest industrial winder we could find for purchase was about $5,000.
That's designed for this task.
We're running on a budget of $4,000 a year to build a bike, so that wasn't going to work.
Right.
We put this together for a little under $500 in parts and a whole lot of banging our head on a table figuring it out.
Yeah, it looks like if you sank a little bit more money into it and a little more time, you could have an extremely elegant machine all figured out.
Definitely.
I mean, it looks good enough right now, for
yeah.
sure. But, yeah, I get it. We develop as we go.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. And, I mean, there's still so many things that I would change if we do a new version of this.
If you didn't come away feeling like that, you probably wouldn't be much of an engineer.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's anything that I do, and I'm on iteration number whatever 20
yeah.
on something that I'm like, damn, why didn't I do it this way, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's great work.
Thank you.
It's great work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter.